Well, this episode of the news is brought to you by Linode. There's never been a better time to try Linode. They've got a new promo going on, and there's a link for that below. It's linode.com/level1text. The promo is free static object storage. So this is a new service that Linode is offering. What's static object storage? It's like Amazon's S3, you know, like the S3 buckets that we're always struggling with, or struggling with other people's lack of permissions or reporting permissions issues. Linode has that service. And so you can host static files on it. You can also use secure S3 buckets for backups. So you can create an encrypted backup stored in an S3 bucket so that only you have the key to it, so it's not public or anything like that. So if you need to store a big file or a little file or static files or movies or music or media or whatever that will be hosted on Linode's content delivery network, you don't need a server for it. You don't need anything like that. There are some static site tutorials that Linode has for using static storage, but it's completely free if you already have a Linode account. It's completely free until March 31st, 2020, so you can try it, see how it goes. So that's pretty awesome. And if you use the link, you'll actually get a $20 credit on your new Linode account. But if you, even if you have an old Linode account, you automatically have the free object storage functionality. So that is a new feature. You should definitely check it out and try it. If for no other reason, then it will look good for you to have tried the static storage thing on your Linode account, because it's like, hey, the level one connection.
What are you still doing here? Go do it now.
You really should, because it's pretty awesome. It's actually cheaper. Like, S3 is one of the cheapest things that Amazon has, and Linode's option is less expensive than Amazon S3, and I'm trying it right now to actually make sure that it's better. But so far, I've been really impressed, because S3 is very kind of expensive for what it is.
It's very expensive. Amazon, clients do not like that.
Well, no, I mean, a lot of the clients are like, yeah, let's use Amazon and we'll just pay for what we use. They literally do not understand, like, that they are just being robbed. Like, they're going to run all of their infrastructure. Amazon is great for scaling. You can scale up and down. You can do the reserved instances. But they just do not understand that they're being robbed once they're spending more than, like, $400 a month on Amazon infrastructure. It's just, they don't understand.
But you do.
You will, as soon as you play with your Linode account. Thanks, Linode.
Thank you. Hello, chat remotely. Today is March 24th, and we've been in quarantine for a week.
You know, I really expected and I hoped that we'd be back this week, and like, we're like, wow, last week was crazy. I'm glad that's over, right? Things are so much better now.
For the algorithm, this is a tech news show. This is about tech news. It's not about anything other than tech news. It's tech news.
There's zero chance we get away with this, because every story, as you might imagine,
yeah,
every news story,
pandemic,
and there's nothing else going on. So it's going to be disappointing this week, but you got nothing else to do, right? So numbers should hang out.
We're still alive, although also, Chris is really taking the quarantine seriously.
I am taking it seriously. I'm very paranoid.
The best alternative name that I've heard so far is from Norm MacDonald. He calls it Tom Hanks disease.
Tom Hanks is doing just fine. Thank you very much.
Not Idris Elba? Isn't Idris Elba? He was positive. I don't know if he did anything else.
Listen, Idris Elba is not... He's a star, but he's not a Tom Hanks.
That's true.
He's got the most star power of any of the infected, for sure.
My dog's very upset.
Oh, there was a whimper.
She can see, I think, the neighbor's dogs are outside, and she wants to go outside.
Does she not understand there's a quarantine?
I've been walking her. That's the only thing I've done that I've been outside, is to take her out. But
you're allowed to do that in a lockdown.
Yeah.
You can walk your dog. You can walk yourself. But I think there's like a more serious one they can do.
Yeah.
I think the governor in our discussions has been like, well, guys, if you don't take it seriously, we're going to have to lock everything down. And I think that's probably where we're headed.
Have you seen the love affair that the left media is in with Bashir?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Govern me, Daddy. It's very strange.
It's the weirdest thing. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Although the asides, you know, we can just go crazy with them this week, because
there's not a lot of news.
It's going to get demonetized, and there's no content. So, hey, let's start with NASA. That's unusual, right? NASA is still putting out press releases. Are they working?
Apparently.
I don't think so. Maybe remotely.
Well, they've made a terrible error.
NASA to launch 247 petabytes of data into AWS, that's Amazon Web Services, but they forgot about the eye-watering cloud egress cost before liftoff. So Amazon doesn't charge you if the data stays inside of AWS, but it turns out that a lot of people want NASA's data, and a lot of other things, a lot of other people that NASA work with also want NASA's data. 247 petabytes egressing out of AWS is going to cost about $30 million.
And it's earth science data, ESIDS. So this is not the kind of thing where it's like, oh, let me log on and read a paper. No, this is like data that's constantly flowing into your data model so that you can use it. So it's going to be huge.
But we always get the money back that we invest into NASA. So it's fine, right? That's fine.
I think that NASA might be sending a little bit too much money Bezos' way.
Well, but also we've got SpaceX now.
Yeah.
So it's like the whole, the government can always do it better. Ooh, can they?
I feel like the government needs to keep an eye on SpaceX, if only for the guy that's
God.
In charge of SpaceX.
Yeah. Listen, you know I hate Musk, but you can't argue with the numbers. I mean, the man's putting up rockets like nobody's business, and he's doing it for pennies on the dollar.
You know, every day that passes, he really does become more like Tony Stark, like post-Avengers, or pre-Avengers Awakening.
Although,
just the ego and...
Like, all the stuff he's doing in the wake of the current crisis, man, is he a monster. I think he might
really?
Be up there with Bezos.
He's a profiteering, I think, is the word that I would use. And if the attorneys general are worried about the price of hand sanitizer, they really ought to be looking into what those guys are doing.
You know, it's funny how you read about those people who are, like, working at Tesla, especially the sales department. They're like, man, we're really doing something here. I really believe in our cause. You got to wonder if that facade has been shattered at all by the fact that he's like, what? No, you don't get to go home. What? Are you stupid?
His heritage in the Emerald Mines is really starting to come back up. People don't have days off. What are you talking about?
It is funny, though. After this whole thing, I've been busier than ever. And it's like, oh, I'll finally have some time to do some things and do the other thing, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, just random people are coming out of the woodwork and needing stuff done, and it's like, well, as long as I'm getting paid, I'd better strike while the iron's hot. Nervous laughter.
We'll see if we get paid.
Make them do like the check cashing on those $1,000 checks. Well, that's not the only mistake that NASA made. You know, the old too much money takes too long, government work, you know, theory. Well, it's panned out here for sure. On these moon rocket towers.
NASA's mobile moon rocket tower over 44% or 44% over budget, the inspector general says. So it's taken two or three extra years, and it's 44% over budget, and we're still not really super close to having a usable moon rocket. And also SpaceX.
Just a quiet scream.
I think that article said they're projected to have a total final cost of like $2 billion, and their initial projected cost was like $500-600 million.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't worry. You know what? When the debt goes into the hundreds of trillions after all this is over, what's another $2 billion? Minuscule. We'll be happy to pay whatever price to get off this planet at that point. And Jeff Bezos, of course, you know, we talk about him. He's the yardstick for corporate evil. So, of course, we compare Musk to him. But he's actually outperforming Musk a little bit, although he did have to be prodded into it, I fear.
Senators have urged Jeff Bezos to give American warehouse workers sick leave and hazard pay. And I think we've got a follow-up article that he did increase pay very slightly. But also, paradoxically, he started a GoFundMe, or he's participating in a GoFundMe for people that have been hard hit. So he put some money into GoFundMe and was like, hey, there's a GoFundMe thing specifically for Amazon workers that have been affected by this negatively, directly. And so that seems a little weird. Like, GoFundMe is not a social program.
Doesn't that just make you want to vomit? They also picked a fantastic, like, image of him. Here.
Yeah, he looks very
overlooking his
smug
empire.
And powerful. We'll probably just weed out the other story, because the other story just points out that he did say they could stay at home as much as they want for the rest of the month, and this was, you know, like a week ago, without pay. And those that do work are going to get an extra $2 per hour. And if you can prove that you're sick, you will get paid time off.
Except no one's testing. Like, it's hard to get a test right now.
Now, Bezos's paid time off was just paid time off. But Musk's paid time off was your accrued paid time off, right?
But that's another story. Okay. We'll talk about that story. That's not, those are business stories. I only add this one in government because the senators were like, listen, Bezos, you have to do something.
I like that they have power to like legislate. And they're like, you know, we'll just write him a strongly worded letter. That'll do it.
All they need is campaign donations.
Well, if you look back, you know, at historically before like the Defense Production Act stuff, you know, the feds asked AT&T to do all kinds of stuff in the 40s and 50s. They just went to AT&T and were like, we need this. We need your research team doing this. They need to drop whatever it is that they're doing. And we got to solve these problems. Do it, AT&T. And AT&T's like, this is going to cost more money than you have. And they were like, don't care. Do it. Glad to do it. And then, you know, just a scant 30 years later, the feds were like, no, this is, you guys are too powerful. Look at all this crazy stuff you did. And it's like, you gave us this power. What are you talking about? AT&T.
Well, speaking of businesses that are not doing their part during the crisis, GameStop is certainly one of the worst offenders. And as much as it's fun to play video games while you're stuck at home, the question is, are they necessary during these times?
Pennsylvania state officials have forcibly suspended all GameStop business licenses in an effort to combat the spread of that thing. And update, GameStop has said, you know what? We've reconsidered. We're going to shut down all our stores.
I think that's valid as of today. Recording date, 3/22.
Yeah. So 3/20, they shut them down. And GameStop, well, that was just in Pennsylvania, but GameStop, they said, oh, you know what? We've changed our mind.
I think GameStop was just salty that their online ordering is garbage, and everybody, if they have to order online, they would order from Amazon anyway.
Or digital.
Yeah, why would you just not download it?
I mean, the big thing that they cited was Doom Eternal and Animal Crossing. Can you not get both of those over digital platforms?
I believe that both of those are available. I know Doom Eternal is, but I'm not sure about Animal Crossing.
Yeah,
I'm
pretty
sure
Animal Crossing is e-shop. Digital.
Yeah. So.
Ridiculous. But I'm sure a lot of that came from backlash from the consumers. Because some people are starting to take this seriously. And the GameStop employees, I don't think, were very happy about the situation.
Yeah, having to work, yeah.
Now, the governments, you would think, during a time like this, would be completely in, you know, like, the highest level of alert, only working on this one particular problem. But no. In France, they're still making time. Although, to be fair, when you're France and you realize how much this is going to cost you, maybe this makes a lot of sense.
Apple has been fined a record $1.23 billion in France for a price-fixing scheme. The price-fixing scheme? Not just pricing over the iPhone, but Apple products in general, laptops and some other components as well.
Oh, the iPhone was not included in this, so you wonder. But the deal was, if you were a reseller and not an official Apple store, which, is that even a thing here? I guess you can buy an iPad at like Best Buy or something, right?
Yeah, you can do that.
You had to do what they wanted in terms of pricing. You couldn't like have great deals and beat your competitors on the Apple deal, and you certainly couldn't beat the Apple store. And during launch week, they really didn't like sending you stock because they like to get the orders through the Apple store. And it turns out there was paperwork and agreement signed, which is not allowed. That's expensive. I'm sure they'll appeal it for the next 10 years. And by the time it gets through the courts, we'll all be dead.
I was going to say there won't be courts by the time.
Well, the Votes app was used in West Virginia, or is going to be. Did they use it for one of the primaries?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So they did use it. And a lot of people were like, wow, that seems weird. Seems like that would be easy to hack. How can you prove that that's not easy to hack? And some MIT people were like, no, it's easy to hack. And they're like, you're crazy. You know what? We're going to pay, and we're going to have it audited by a third party.
And the third party says that the detailed audit of Votes' voting app confirms the security flaws. Womp womp. Yeah. The article says that there was like 60 or 70,000 votes that were cast. And the auditors did conclude there's not any evidence of hacking, just that it could have been hacked and it would have been super easy to do so.
If you had the administrative access, you can in fact change the votes and no one would know. Now, we've talked about this before, and a lot of people in the comments were like, well, if you can do it for Bitcoin, you can do it for this. Well, the problem is you're not supposed to be able to know how I voted. That's the challenge. So how do you prove it without keeping a record of who did it and what it was? Because, you know, like, what if you voted for Bernie and Hillary sent a death squad to your house?
That's totally never happened
that
before.
That could be a thing. And, you know, we're all having a pretty bad week, but this guy had a particularly bad week.
True.
Ex-Uber engineer Lewandowski has pled guilty to trade secrets theft. He faces up to 10 years in prison for stealing secrets from Google. He was charged with actually stealing secrets and attempting to stealing secrets. And, you know, his lawyer was like, you should take the plea deal here because it doesn't look good for you. And he's like, okay.
He looks like he's withholding a cough in this photo.
Maybe tears.
Yeah.
So this is the guy that started his own self-driving business, which Uber gobbled up for like $500 million. And they're like, yeah, you've got some great technology. And it turns out it was just Google's technology because he had worked at Google previously.
Whoops.
Good plan if you can get away with it. He didn't. There's a lot of really scary stuff coming out of the governments in terms of how they want to empower themselves in the wake of this crisis. It's the kind of thing that happens a lot. And I don't know. I mean, on one hand, it's terrifying. On the other hand, do we need it? I don't know. There's a big debate. But
there's
think
a lot of people that really wanted to go to that bingo hall.
I think we're going to get it.
Israel takes steps toward monitoring phones of patients of the thing. So what happens is you get the diagnosis, and then your phone is monitored, and your phone is reporting your location and all kinds of other details, and it's like, whoa, what you're doing an awful lot of traveling here. Are we going to have to send an armed squad to your house to make sure that you don't leave?
I thought they were already doing this in places like Taiwan.
Yeah, I think Taiwan, they did say they were already doing it. But they, you know, their culture is more used to that, I think.
Yeah,
that's true.
There's been talk of how to do it. Now, I thought when this first started, you know, I'm always sitting there thinking like, how can you capitalize on this? I think an app where you just, of course, everybody would have to use it. But if it was just like a voluntary thing where it just, you know, tagged other phones as you were traveling around. And if one of those people had the same app and they pushed the big red button, you get a notification. It was like, hey, when you were at Walmart earlier, you passed a person in the toilet paper aisle. Guess what? Get tested. Except there's no test.
There's tests if you're rich and famous, but not for us.
So I think something like that. And I think a lot of people would use it. Enough people would use it that other, you know, like, you'd still get a pretty good picture.
Yeah.
Probably be a terrifying picture.
Yeah.
Well, moving on to the security section. It's pretty terrifying that our military is often run on very, very outdated equipment. Extremely outdated. But what's even more terrifying is what they do with it when it gets so old they can't, you just literally can't use it anymore.
German military laptops sold on eBay included classified missile information. So they're still using the missile system, but the laptop that was sold, which is some kind of a Pentium 3 laptop, had the operator's manual and schematics for building. It was like, oh, you need to do field repairs on missile guidance system. No problem. It's made of standard components. Here's how you go.
I like to imagine it's an IKEA manual. There's no text. Just
it was one of those mobile rocket artillery tube truck things, and they do still use them. So,
whoops.
Wait a minute. That was still government. That wasn't security because we've only just moved into social media.
We're all confused. It's the virus. You've got confusion. You have one of the symptoms.
I blame Tom Hanks. So, social media. Wow, social media is pretty busy this week, isn't it? A lot of people using it, and a lot of people being suppressed.
Twitter broadly bans anything that we can't say that could help the thing spread. This is not as funny if you're on the podcast. I'm sorry. The video really makes it worth it.
So, denial of expert guidance, encouragement to use ineffective treatments, that makes sense, or misleading content about experts. You know who violated this and didn't get taken down? Mr. Musk.
I wonder if anybody that has Lou Gehrig's disease also has Tom Hanks' disease.
Got to collect them all. You got to get Lou Gehrig's disease, get Tom Hanks' disease, and then get Tommy John surgery.
That's why you signed up on Patreon, folks. That right there.
I don't see how Twitter can enforce this, because literally every like trending thing and every trending topic is about this.
Twitter doesn't either, and that's why it's completely random and arbitrary.
And it turns out Facebook also doesn't know how to do this, but they err on the side of just, you know, crushing everything.
Facebook blocking articles about the thing, but they say it appears to be a bug. It's like, oh, that's a weird bug, and that's all they said. There's not we fixed it. Not they're just like, huh, yeah, that's yeah.
It's a weird bug about the weird bug.
You know the team that can handle this? They're working from home and they're still adjusting, so we're going to have to give them some time.
You think the banned content team, are they working from home?
Google said that, you know, they're not, like, those. None of those people are working, so it's like we're just flying on the algorithm completely. Sorry.
So I guess it's a security risk if you move that video of the lizards being butchered to your home computer, because you could collect it, maybe.
Can you imagine if you're in like a shared office space with like your spouse? And then turn around and look at your computer and it's like, oh no.
Your kids are home from school.
It's like, Mom, what are you watching? It's like, this guy's chainsawing this other guy in half. And it's like, what video game is this? And it's like, oh, sweetie, that's the Middle East. I'm sorry.
That's a category 3, sweetheart. We have 500 more of these to go before bedtime. Well, the big news that you could get excited about, maybe one of the good things about it, is we're going to get those checks, right? You know, there's some catches for the checks. But $1,000 sounds pretty good from the government, right? Actually, I think Trump has now said it might be more than that. And don't worry about where it comes from. Listen, we're going Bernie mode with this.
The academics are saying that it's probably going to be like August before this is not a thing anymore.
Oh, well, we're getting another one. We're getting two checks.
Oh.
And beyond that, they said, listen, if it doesn't stop, we'll just keep printing some bread and circuses, baby. But Trump wasn't the first to do it. In fact, he might have copied King Robot.
Facebook to give $1,000 bonuses to each of its employees to deal with the fallout from the thing. So that's nearly 45,000 full-time workers, but also several thousand more contract workers. So the really surprising thing here is that a lot of the contractors that are considered key contractors, they're also included in this. That's nice.
It's a lot of money.
It is really nice.
But, you know, I think Zuckerberg can afford it.
Well, I mean, I was thinking, it's like, it is a lot of money, but then 45,000 times 1,000 is not a lot of money for Zuckerberg.
Right. I mean, listen, Christmas might be a little bit more disappointing this year at the Zuckerberg household.
We can only get the 80-foot yacht. We can't get the 160-foot yacht.
What's the point? What's the point in even living at that point?
Everybody's got to tighten their belt. TikTok is probably super happy, not about this headline, but about the fact that this headline was buried under a lot more headlines this week, and so they really got away with one here.
TikTok, quote-unquote, tried to filter out videos from ugly, poor, or disabled users. Yeah, it really is exactly, like, there's some internal memos and stuff like that leaked. It was like, we don't think our application is going to be popular if we have, like, scary, messed up people on our platform. It's like,
well,
what?
It was a lot worse scary. Than that. I mean, you didn't have to be scary or messed up. You just had to be average or a little bit below average.
Yeah, if you're not good looking, you're not on TikTok.
They defended it by saying that those people, because they were so hideous, would get bullied if they went into the recommended feed. Mm. So they were saving them.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a really clever explanation.
Is it, though?
I 100% buy it.
What if those people
TikTok
didn't know they were
what's
ugly?
Best for me.
Well, everybody's working from home, and it is weird. It's definitely not what you think it is after a week.
Yeah.
Have you got the cats straightened out?
Oh, the cats are so much more needy now that I'm always around.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, they really, like, just, they always want attention for a few seconds, and then they're okay. But if I don't stop and pet them or something, that's just a meow, meow. And they're back to meowing in the mornings, too. Mm. It's really, this is not, it's been very disruptive for the cats.
What about the water fountain? Are they still taking the water fountain apart?
He's done it once this week.
That's not terrible.
Was, yesterday.
Compared to like what it was doing.
Rue got bored and shredded a tennis ball. We had to throw it away.
Yeah, but that's her tennis ball, right?
It is her tennis ball. It's true.
Although, you can't just go out and get new tennis balls.
No, she's burning through them. She's got to think about this.
You really need to explain that to her.
Yeah, she doesn't understand. She's a dog.
But our worries are mostly about like being bored and just, you know, like the malaise of the whole thing. However, if you work with in a business that has a lot of secrets, you have to think about your telephone calls.
Locked down lawyers warned that Alexa is hearing their conference calls. So you think lawyers working from home, they're doing conference calls. It's really amazing. Yeah, the Alexa, it's recording all that. It's going to the cloud. That's probably bad.
Yikes.
You know what's really disappointing, though, is the Apple HomePod is legit the best speakerphone that I've ever heard. So I know somebody that has a HomePod, and then like right before the whole quarantine thing was heating up, they were like, well, I'm, you know, going to gear up to work from home, blah, blah, blah. Do you think the HomePod will work? And I was like, I don't know. Let's try it. We tried it, and the sound out of that was incredible. It's disappointing because we have those really expensive Polycom phones, and the HomePod is a better speakerphone than like a $1,000 Polycom speakerphone.
Well, that makes sense because they can lose money on the hardware and make the money back on all of the information they're stealing from you. You always got to pay something. Well, the hackers have always been working from home. So this is no, they're always in their basement, right? This is not any different for them, which makes them more powerful than ever. And they've turned their sights on the Russian government.
Hackers breached the FSB contractor and or a one of the FSB contractors and leaked details about an IoT hacking project. Remember the Mirai botnet, the one that was going to take over everything? Somebody inside the FSB said, wow, this would make an incredible tool. Let's download it and enhance it with our special utilities. So the KGB could be living inside your thermostat.
It's the FSB. There is no more KGB. Totally different. Blackwater doesn't exist anymore. So yeah, they nobody's confirmed nor denied it in the FSB, but it's pretty damning. The documents are. And they found a memo where it was like, under no circumstances and any comments, any documentation, no Russian script anywhere here. This is all in English. Has to be. So it's like, oh, why would you say that?
I kind of just scrolled through and looked at the images in the article, and then like underneath a lot of these have like, you know, explanations of like captions of what they're supposed to be, but they're all in Russian. I was like, oh, never mind. Yeah.
So I didn't read the memo.
I didn't read the memo.
This one was supposed to be after the other one.
Yeah, I kind of just like, we were dealing with Chris's audio and I got distracted during the sort. But you know what? It doesn't matter. This is an off week anyway. But yeah, more about the home security assistance. And the thing about, so this is not about like, oh, this is dangerous during the quarantine. This is always dangerous because the home security systems integrate with everything else. And they were like, this is cool. Everybody wants to integrate with us. How can we abuse that?
Smart home developers raise concerns about Alexa and Google Assistant security. Yeah, it turns out a lot of those third-party developers may be getting a lot more data from the home assistants because the home is not vacant while people are gone to work.
So this is about events. So for example, if you say, Alexa, turn on the lights, then Alexa talks to the light switches, or the light bulbs, I guess, and it's like, oh, hey, are you on? If you're not, you should turn on. And Amazon and Google were like, you know, nah, that's too much work. Why don't we just set this up so that anytime something happens in your home, it tells the Alexa and the Google Home about it. And the developers are like, wait, what? We don't want to do that. And Google and Alexa were like, you're going to do it. So you have to agree to that when you sign up if you want to integrate. It's bad.
We started a series on building our own IoT devices, and it will be less awful. And your alarm video was really good on that.
Data breaches. Yeah, just your garden variety data breaches. It's hard to get excited about them anymore.
Data of millions of eBay and Amazon shoppers exposed. Not because of eBay and Amazon. This is a third party like affiliate marketing company that just keeps track of all of the credit card transactions and what people bought from where. And they were able to match eBay and Amazon transactions. So this huge database of transactions is now on the internet. It was what? It was like 600 and some million transactions.
And it was even down to credit cards, or like last four or something of credit cards. So it's a lot of rib. If you had all that information, that's all you'd ever need to fish.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a bad one.
I'm following up with a product recall about the red ball that you bought.
And I've got this expiration date and this last four of your credit card number. And this is your zip code. Can you confirm all that?
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I read this article and the first line where it was like European customer records. I was like, oh, thank goodness.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of that. It's like, oh, God. Oh, it's in Europe.
Oh. Well, then there was the other story a little bit after that one, which was everybody. It was global.
Yeah. Norm Macdonald had another great joke. He had some great material about the thing. He was like, oh, man. You remember last week when this was in China and it was just funny?
Do you remember the before times? Yeah. Do you remember going outside?
So this one, this turns out this is Wired's weekly roundup, but the reason that I clicked on it and added as a story was this sub-headline.
Ransomware operators pledge not to hit hospitals for now. On the Wired, there's just the one paragraph that's like, okay, well, a few ransomware operators have pledged that, and that's not really anything actionable. But there's some other stories in this roundup that is really interesting.
I didn't read any of them. Let's go through them.
It costs more than ever to break into an iPhone. Gray Keys raising their price to $18,000 per phone per year, or per opening per year.
How do you think the lockdown has impacted law enforcement agencies trying to get into phones?
I would say that it's probably leveled off.
I think a huge reduction, right?
Yeah. Credit card skimming hackers play cat and mouse game on NutriBullet site. So it's MageCart. It's MageCart vulnerability. The hackers, so there was a MageCart vulnerability. The hackers took advantage of that vulnerability, installed a credit card skimmer, but they also installed more software to get back after it was patched. So then MageCart was patched, and then the hackers got back in, and it's like, oh, did they exploit another vulnerability they didn't know? It's like, no, they installed backdoor code. So then they got rid of that backdoor code, and then they got in again. Burnt.
Seems like a weird target.
NutriBullet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. How many people are buying NutriBullet directly from NutriBullet?
Low-hanging fruit.
You can buy those in the stores, right?
It was apparently a MageCart problem.
Mm. Do you remember going to the store? The before times?
I think it's so much better going to the store right now because people just they're just out of the way. They don't bother you.
I long for the days where the old lady would wedge her cart in sideways.
It was a simpler time.
And it was like, I can't. What am I supposed to do here?
Or she would stare at the soup for 20 minutes at a time.
Now there's no soup to stare at.
Well, they did a privacy audit on all of the major browsers. Guess who was the loser?
Microsoft Edge. Microsoft Edge is the least private browser, study finds. Although, the headline's a little misleading because Edge, with the new Chrome engine, is the same rendering engine as Google Chrome, but it's got all of the built-in Google telemetry taken out. The problem is that not really that Microsoft added a bunch of their own telemetry, although there is some of that. The problem is that the browser will let advertisers do whatever the heck they want. So where Firefox is like, hey, you're trying to play, you know, a shady game here with a third-party CNAME, or you're trying to play games with cookies or cross-site scripting or whatever, Edge is just like, yeah, sounds good, whatever, let's do it. And therein come the privacy violations.
And all that was going to a Microsoft IP.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, you get that it's not as bad as the Google analytics, but you're still, a lot of that is still going to Microsoft.
Google, one thing you could say about them is, it's like, you know how when someone has a sibling and they're constantly fighting, but then if you say anything to that person, they both turn on you?
Yeah.
Google has that kind of relationship. It's like, listen, only I spy on you. No one else. I will destroy anyone else who tries. Just me.
And meanwhile, Firefox is like, what's going on? I'm just trying to protect everybody's privacy.
Where's my market share? And the final story is not exciting. You know what? I should have sorted a better story to the end. But again, today, it's just, you know, whatever.
We love you.
Yeah, we're just, Thank you for watching. Trying to get through it. This one's boring.
Cloud data leak exposes 425 gigabytes of small biz financial data. So these are from apps. There were, like, one of them was Funding Wizard or something. There's three or four different apps which are from these new fintech, financial tech companies, which I think we've got a video or two in the pipeline about doing something with that, because it's exciting. The technology could empower a new whatever. But what this is about is some of those fintech companies, not good at security. So they had a lot of small businesses using, you know, like say that you you get a contract, you know, $1 million contract to do a thing or build a thing, and you know you can do it, you got the talent, but you're going to have to spend $250,000 up front on materials, but you got a signed contract. With a traditional bank, it's going to take weeks, and they're going to want to go through your stuff and blah, blah, blah to loan you money. But with this, these apps, they can just do it online, and they can, you know, you just take a picture, or you just talk to somebody, or you fill out a form, and you get this ridiculous interest rate. And then with the ridiculous interest rate, you you know, you pay it back or whatever. Those companies, like all of those transactions are what was in this 425 gigs. So, like, if you've uploaded, you know, a customer contract or whatever as proof that, like, hey, I need the money, it was leaked.
And with that, we'll say goodbye.
Bye. That's about as good as I can do.
We still managed 30 minutes. What do you want? Come on.